This is Jay Sekulow. Can the FBI protect us? Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
While all of us are still being impacted by the terrible tragedy down in Florida, our legal team and our production teams have been taking a look at how this could have been prevented. And I know there's a lot of discussions going on about gun control measures and what else can be done in registration, and that's a valid discussion. We'll get into some of that. But let me give you a for instance here of the facts of actually what did happen and a complete failure. The reason I raised the question, can the FBI protect us, is because the FBI has a procedure, a tip line, and that tip line is utilized where individual citizens can actually make calls and make reports. The first tip was about 5 months ago, and that report we know was not followed up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation on a person named Nicholas Cruz. The FBI's initial statements where there were so many people named Nicholas Cruz, although when we looked at the Nicholas Cruz spelling, N-I-K, the K instead of the C, it was an unusual spelling. It reduced it to 180 people. But then, more importantly, a tip was received on January 5th, 2018. In both of the tip cases, the FBI failed to follow its own procedures. Now, the procedure was a tip comes through the public access line called the initial lead. An analyst on the phone conducts a preliminary inquiry to deduce credibility, probability of occurrence, and gravity of the impact. And by the way, when it's life-threatening, that's the highest priority. A supervisory special agent decides whether to act on the analysis. Supervisory special agent calls then the relevant FBI field office, and local law enforcement and local agents and law enforcement conduct the investigation and take the lead. The problem here is the FBI did not share the information with local law enforcement. They've acknowledged this failure. This failure was unbelievably significant. In fact, you could pass all kind of laws on gun control, but if you would have followed the procedures here, you could have prevented this act. And that sounds harsh by some people watching this broadcast or listening to this broadcast right now, but the fact is this was an institutional failure of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Let's be clear. This was an institutional failure of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to follow its own rules and protocols, and they acknowledged it. They said, we have determined that the protocols were not followed for the information received. On January 5th, the information was not provided to the Miami field office, and no further investigation was conducted at that time. So the culpability here, and it's not as to individual agents, it's a systematic problem, is that the FBI did not follow its own protocols, period.
Yes, and I mean, we went through even the video on the tip line and how that's supposed to work, and it's supposed to work by going through there's real people answering the phone and then getting it to the right field office. And we heard in this instance in Florida specifically that it never made it to that field office in Miami, and that's again, means that we've set up this whole call center post 9/11. If it's supposed to go right to the field office, someone did not follow the protocols of even getting the information there. I mean, we need to know from the FBI, are they being inundated? Are they just not taking things seriously because of the amount that comes in? Or is there an error in the reporting process?
They have publicly talked about the importance of this public tip line, yep, and the impact of it. Andy, you've worked with FBI agents before.
I have.
As a U.S. attorney. They're capable. They're competent.
They are.
But this system did not work.
This system did not work, but the protocols were not followed. And this is a great disappointment to me, having dealt with the FBI all the years that I was in the United States Attorney's Office in Atlanta, to see that the simple protocols that should have been followed, in my view, would have prevented the death of 17 children. And we got to say it, that's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, we're giving you the analysts. We've checked into this public access tip line and know a lot about it. We're going to get into that. But that's what failed here. They got the tip of the individual's name and location and desire to do a school shooting back in January, just a month ago, and didn't react. All right, we'll take calls and comments at 800-684-31.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
As we've analyzed the situation of the horrible shooting at the school in Florida, we realize quickly that there's a lot of discussions going on about gun control, and we'll get into some of those discussions, but there was a fundamental failure here. I look at institutional capacity. What is the FBI's capacity? What are they doing? What do they have set up? So they have a tip line that is available to the public, and that tip line you're supposed to call if you see a potential threat. It's called the Public Access Line, PAL. And the PAL line, received a call on January 5th from a person close to Nicholas Cruz and told the FBI public access officer that Cruz had gun ownership, desire to kill people, had erratic behavior, distributed disturbing social media posts, and potentially wanted to conduct a school shooting. Under established protocols, that information provided by the caller should have been assessed as a potential threat to life. The information should have then been forwarded to the FBI field office in Miami, where appropriate investigative steps would have been taken. That did not happen. Chris Ray says we're investigating it. That's not good enough for us. Investigating is not good enough for us. Here's an explanation about the podcast, from a FBI podcast about the public access line. So this is actually from the FBI. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. This is what they say about the line.
When a member of the public calls, they can rest assured that on the other end is going to be an FBI employee who's fully trained and experienced in taking calls from the public, making sure that information gets handled in a confidential manner and gets sent to the investigative or analytical entity that needs that information.
Andy, you're sitting there. Andy's shaking his head while this is being played.
This is awful. This is unbelievable and unacceptable conduct by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Look, government at least needs to do two things: protect us and deliver the mail. And in this case, there has been a serious breach of what government is supposed to do: protect us, defense. And I don't mean just international and national defense. I mean domestic defense against violence. You can't get in a courthouse in the state of Georgia that easily as you can get into a school down there and commit a heinous act like this. And the FBI is accountable. And I'm going to say this: the FBI director is accountable in this case.
So let's go up to Washington, D.C. and talk with Dan Bennett, our director of governmental affairs. Dan, what's your impression? What's your sense of this?
Well, there are more people echoing exactly what Andy just said. I mean, Governor Scott in Florida has called for Christopher Wray to resign. I mean, ultimately, he wasn't in place when this happened, Jay, but there does need to be accountability within the FBI. And I would say this, too. I mean, We talked about this before the show, but I went into a courthouse a couple weeks ago for jury duty. Jay, it was much more difficult to enter that courthouse than it would be to enter these schools where our kids are in mass. So I really do think that has to be part of the conversation as well, securing and fortifying our schools from sort of the defensive posture.
What are you sensing, Logan? What are you seeing online in our social media?
A lot of distrust. A lot of people are worried. A lot of people are worried about the FBI. They're worried about local authorities. A lot of people just feel like, just distrust.
Well, I mean, there was a local authority issue, Jordan. There was 39 reports.
Yeah, I mean, 36 police visits to the home. So, I mean...
Over what period of time do we know?
I mean, the couple... Yeah, so, I mean, that's a lot. That is a lot over even 8 years. That's a lot. That means you are well-known to local law enforcement as a problematic, at one point, child, and then even teenager to adult. So he also had a brother who there were issues with as well. Obviously not as extreme as this situation, but I think that what we look at and all of these problems that are coming to a solution is this. All of the people that we're talking about, that Christopher Wray was talking about even, that made the mistakes here, are bureaucrats.
Yep.
Not one of them was appointed by a politician.
Correct.
And yet there is no way to easily fire any of these people.
Correct.
Now, maybe if someone did something egregious in not doing their job, and maybe that gets them fired. Maybe. But then they take – I mean
– I would like to know. I would like to know this.
Did the person who take that call and put the data in get fired?
I don't know if this is possible. I don't know if you could do a FOIA request on the FBI as to the handling of this matter and to its investigation.
I think that would be an interesting FOIA request because I think it's relevant and it does disclose information, but they may come back and say that it discloses methods and sources and somehow would be exempt from disclosure.
They tell us their methods and sources.
Yeah, I mean, here's what they've done. They've got a whole video on their methods and source. There's a public video on this, and then there's this statement from Chris Wray. We're still investigating the facts. What's to investigate?
That's what I want to know. What's to investigate? You had protocols. They were set up. They're very clear. There's no way that I can misunderstand the protocol. You didn't follow them. 17 children in Parkland, Florida are dead. What investigation do you need to do? What you need to do is do your job and follow the protocols. That's what you need to do, and that's what's not being done.
He says, I'm committed to getting to the bottom of what happened in this particular matter, as well as reviewing our processes for responding to information that we receive from the public. Then he kind of lays it on the public again. It's up to all Americans to be vigilant, and when members of the public contact us with concerns, we must act properly and quickly. First of all, Americans did respond to you with concerns. More than concerns. They said, this guy wants to have a mass school shooting. They said who he was, where he lived. They told you this, FBI director, through your public access line. You had a protocol. Contact the Miami field office immediately. A supervisory FBI agent is supposed to be there to do this. You didn't do that. I say you're the FBI director, you're responsible. Let's take it a step forward. Did the person that did not authorize this, have they been suspended, investigated? What's happening there? I want to know all of that. I want to know what correspondence has gone on between the FBI and the individuals involved in this. So I'll have our legal team take a look at that. If there's a way to do that, we will. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island. You're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jay, you got an excellent nose. Here's the question you really want to dial into. Is the FBI employee, was that a contract person brought in to work a bank of phones, takes a note, and hands it to an FBI
person? Okay, we checked on that because that question was raised within our group, our pre-production group, a couple of days ago. Was this outsourced? And the answer to that is no. This is an FBI operational unit, and when you speak to someone on the phone, you're speaking to an analyst. And there is a supervisory FBI agent there. So this was a failure of the FBI itself, Jerry. It was the Federal Bureau of Investigation that allowed this failure.
Yeah, I mean, the FBI says it. They said, we have determined that the protocols were not followed for the information received by the phone that came in, the tip line, on January 5th. The information was not provided, never provided, to the Miami field office. No further investigation was conducted. This is not the phone call, by the way, from the guy who saw the comment on his blog
initially,
which was less information. This was the phone call from someone who said, I know this person. This person is going to be a school shooter. They are going to kill people. I mean, this was as specific as it gets, and it never made it to the people who could have done anything about it. So then what is the purpose of this call center? And is it is a problem of this, the political correctness of terrorism, that they get so many calls about terrorism, and they got the Obama administration telling them, you know, just because someone's got that name and just because of this. But in this case, that wouldn't have seemed to even have been the issue, because it's a Nicholas Cruz. I mean, so that wouldn't have flagged up any of those issues of targeting American Muslims because of terror threats. This was the school shooting kind of person. And again, if these systems don't work with the technology that we have, then there needs to be an overhaul. I do believe that obviously the buck stops with the leader of the FBI, the head of the FBI. He's been there for a few months. But I think that if you cannot come in to whatever call center this came into and fire the head of it and the 10 other people that were involved in this phone call, then if the laws prevent you from doing that, which they basically do, because these are bureaucrats who work for the federal government, then you're never going to solve these problems. You're not going to solve these problems by just firing a bunch of political appointees that are there for 2 or 3 years at a time.
I mean, just so you know.
These are lifers.
No, just so you understand what they said. They say in that same soundbite that we play, they can rest assured that at the other end is going to be an FBI employee. So this answers that question, who's fully trained and experienced in taking calls from the public, which did not happen. So, Than, I don't know if there's been calls for oversight yet. We seem to have to do that a lot these days with the FBI. What is the sense in Washington on this?
There have been calls for oversight, but look, in light of what Jordan just said, the oversight is not going to do any good unless there's a change in the authority to fire bureaucrats. Because look, Jordan's exactly right that ultimately Christopher Wray has to respond to this, but if he doesn't have the authority to fire the person who took this tip and then did not follow the procedure to do something when an American saw something and said something, if they didn't do anything with it and they failed to follow that procedure, if Christopher Wray can't fire that bureaucrat, Jay, we are not going to fix this institutionally. So these two things have to go hand in hand. Hold the politicals accountable, sure, but then empower them with the ability to get rid of the people who don't do their job.
You know, we've written about this. We did a book called Undemocratic, and the problem with these employees are you can't get rid of them, even when they make a mistake like this. And this is a mistake with catastrophic consequences. I mean, catastrophic consequences. All right. Take more calls and comments when we come back.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now, but that'll open up. You can also get your comments out on social media. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter at JaySekulow, and Periscope JaySekulow as well. Broadcasting live video and audio. You can watch us, talk to us. It's also archived later on. It's available on ACLJ.org live.
And don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're going to have more on this. We're going to take your calls and comments. We want answers. There's not a Band-Aid fix here. We need answers. We're going to get them. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Back with more of your calls and comments in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got a systematic FBI failure that took place in Florida and resulted in 17 kids being killed and 14 injured seriously. And I hate saying that, but it was a systematic FBI failure. And you could call it a lot of things, but I'm going to call it exactly what it is. The FBI had a PAL line, which is called a public access line, a tip line. They got the tip. It was direct. It was specific. It was targeted as to the person and location and as to the activity that was going to be engaged in. And they never communicated that information down to the Miami field office. If that were to happen in the United States military, Colonel West Smith, what would happen?
Yeah, I was just thinking that exact thing. The FBI can learn a lot from the military culture. Over and over in my 26 years in the Army, I saw commanders, sometimes general officers, relieved of command if there was a serious incident with a loss of life in their downtrace, because they said, you know, you are in charge of the command climate. I'm not saying necessarily that Christopher Wray should be fired. The head of the call center definitely should, because there is a climate there where this was allowed to happen. In the military, it's simply not tolerated. I mean, I've seen commanders, good commanders, be relieved of command because someone that worked for them did something that caused loss of life unnecessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the point that I was wanting to bring Wes in on, is that when I think law enforcement and the people who work with it, you know, so the head of these call centers, who probably are some kind of agent level or at least high up in the FBI, right, to run a department like this post 9/11, is that they should be treated more like military and less like and less like a bureaucrat,
right?
Especially federal law enforcement, local law enforcement. If a police officer gets an altercation where they have to use their weapon, they are put on leave, and a whole investigation is done under whether or not basically they've committed murder. I mean, and whether they use their weapon properly. I mean, it's a big deal. In this sense, by not sending the information, someone allowed 17 people to get killed.
I know.
Yep. And so, why is that person not being treated? And so we don't let our military, who put their lives directly on the line, get away with this without serious punishment. And why should we let call screeners or the people running those call screening offices keep their jobs? I mean, you know, I'm not saying charge them with murder. I'm saying the most that they're proposing in this legislation is a political appointee loses their bonus.
Yeah,
let's say they're
nothing.
The highest ranking political appointee. They're making what, 180 a year, 180 grand a year. So not insignificant.
198, I think.
I don't know what is the bonus system in the federal government.
I think
it's not like they're in the business world.
$10,000 or $12,000.
Okay.
This call center.
They would not. So they're not losing their job necessarily. The president could fire them, obviously. And by the way, no one at that level in government, at that top level, who would be that political appointee, took that job for the money. You don't do that for the money. You do that to serve the president of the United States, who personally selected you or the team to do it. So the teeth on this, why can we never get at the swamp? I mean, the swamp is obviously the problem. It is the bureaucracy. You've written about books about it. I mean, I'm writing a book about it. It's every single problem we can have in America, from school shootings to the IRS targeting, all was bureaucrats. Everything is all this bureaucrats.
I mean, there is no good explanation for this. I mean, the explanations you come up with are horrendous. And here, the consequences were huge.
Well, they are, Jay. You know, the Mississippi field office transmits the name Nicholas Cruz and the quotation, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter,"
right,
to the agent, special agent in charge of the Miami field office. He says, "Yeah, I got that from the Mississippi field office." But he said, "And we conducted database reviews, but were unable to further identify the person who actually made the comment."
What, and Logan did it on air.
What a ridiculous statement. We were able to do that ourselves. You know, we could find out. But another thing that he didn't do, he didn't share the information with local law enforcement. Mm. Now, I deal a lot with local law enforcement. The sheriff in the counties knows who the crooks and the criminals are. Let me tell you, the local police, the FBI doesn't know who the local criminals and wrongdoers are. They're not, I can tell you that from having worked with them. But you go to the sheriff, or you go to the local police and they know their people.
You have to be able to terminate people's employment when they make catastrophic failures. In business, you do that. And you should be able to do that in government. We have a series of five I want to give you very quickly here. We'll talk more about it in the second half hour of the broadcast. On April 22nd, 2011, 2 years before the deadly Boston Marathon bombing, the FBI interviewed the Sarnoff brothers over concerns of radicalization. They did not hold them. 2 years later, they set off bombs during the 2013 Boston Marathon, killing three people, injuring several hundred. Next one. Do you remember this? On June 17, 2015, Dylan Roof, a white supremacist, attacked an African Methodist church, killing nine and injuring one other. He should have never been allowed to purchase the gun he used in the attack, not because of you need a new gun laws, but because of this. There was an error in reporting his background to the National Criminal Background Check System, allowing him to purchase the gun. The same error allowed Devin Patrick Kelly to obtain the weapon he used to attack the church in Sutherland, Texas last year. On June 12, 2016, Omar Mateen attacked the Orlando Pulse nightclub, killing 49 people, injuring 58 others. The FBI had investigated and interrogated Mateen on three occasions, but did nothing. On January 6, 2017, Esteban Santiago shot up the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood Airport, leaving five dead, eight injured. In November 2016, Santiago walked into the FBI Anchorage field office, told the agents he was being forced to watch ISIS videos. They can conduct an initial assessment, an interview, and database review, and let him go. Five systematic failures that resulted in the loss of life. If it was in private life, these people that allowed this would be terminated. And Wes, you're saying if it was the military, they'd be terminated. They'd be relieved of duty.
Even if the leader is totally innocent as far as the actual act, he is responsible for the command climate, as we call it, and he is held accountable. What makes this even more egregious, Jay, is that according to the FBI's own statistics, out of all the calls that they receive at this call center in Clarksburg, West Virginia, 98% of them require no further action. Sometimes people call because they didn't get right. Their Social Security check, but 2%. Only 2% require further action, and if there is a potential for loss of life, the supervising agent on duty is supposed to immediately drop everything and call the appropriate field office. 2% of the calls is all that's required, and yet they still drop the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to address it from two points. I mean, I know there's the gun control debate that is moving forward in the background check processes, which a lot of that, again, is bureaucratic failures.
Yep.
The shooting from the military not reporting directly to the system about the shooter in Texas who had the domestic violence and who was imprisoned, court-martialed and imprisoned in military prison. So it's never should have been able to buy the weapon. Bought them what appeared to the gun store as legally. And so I think that, again, there's the two ways to go about it. There's the gun control issue. I mean, maybe people don't know out there who are not as educated in this. You could 18 and buy an AR-15, but you cannot buy a 22 pistol. I mean, so think about that. I mean, yes, some of this was because of hunting issues that, you know, but an AR-15, again, 18 years old, can't buy a 22 pistol, which inflicts very little harm comparative, unless you're at point blank range.
All right. We're going to take more calls and comments when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to aclj.org and get the full broadcast there, both audio and video. You can have the choice. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, and we're live broadcasting there as well on Roku TV and a number of other social media platforms, Periscope as well. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
So we're talking about whether the FBI can protect us, and clearly in the shooting in Florida, they did not. I say that not with complete concern for the families that are suffering as their children are being buried. But the FBI made a catastrophic mistake. And this was a catastrophic failure from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They received a tip. We talked about the one in September to the office that never got relayed. And once it did get relayed, nothing happened. But we had a tip that came in. I say we, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, had at least a tip that was very clear on January 5th, 2018. You're talking about 6 weeks ago. The FBI failed to follow it. The tip was that the individual, Nicholas Cruz, had intended, among other things, to, who was dangerous, had possessed a large number of weapons, had disturbing social media posts, and was planning on doing a mass school shooting. That tip came into the PAL. The PAL is, in fact, the PAL is, in fact, the public access line that allows you to call in. You call in, and then it's handled, and this is handled by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's a supervisory agent there at the site. That agent at the site is supposed to be in coordination with the analyst who's taking the information in, Andy. And when it's a, when it's something involving the threat to life, it's top priority one.
That's right.
It's supposed to be immediately transferred down to, the, in this particular case, it would have been the Miami field office. Mm-hmm. That did not happen. And Chris Ray issues a statement saying, we got to do a better job. We're investigating to see what happened. What happened was somebody didn't do their job.
Yeah, you don't need any further investigation to tell me what happened in this case. The Miami field office gets it, conducts, supposed to conduct database review, can't identify the person. We already did that. We were able to identify him. We're not professional law enforcement. Well, we were able to do it. And the FBI is also supposed to follow the protocol of sharing the information with local law enforcement.
Right.
I can't emphasize enough what a breach that was, Jay, because local law enforcement knows the bad guys. The sheriff and the police department, not the FBI in Broward County, knows who the bad guys are. Believe me, they're the people
who
know.
But here they got it, but they were told who the bad guy is.
They were told, right. They were told the name of the bad guy and what he was intending to do, and nothing was ultimately done. And
well, they it never got down to them. We need to be clear. I don't want to blame the Miami field office because the PAL line didn't do that. You know, the government keeps telling us, if you see something, say something. And then they don't do anything.
Right.
And here, Than, and this is where I want to know, what we're going to do our own investigation through our FOIA process, through our Office of Government Accountability at the ACLJ. But I want to know what Congress is going to do other than a piece of legislation which says you don't get your bonus if your gun registration laws aren't in place. And I mean, that I'm sorry. It's absurd.
Well, unfortunately, Jay, the entire conversation in D.C., including this legislation that I'm holding, is based on this concept that they just need more information. I mean, that really is the conversation that they're engaging in, that we need more information to stop these attacks.
Yeah.
Jay, you just read five recent examples. In three of those examples, the FBI had specific information. In the other two, where they're claiming they needed more records uploaded, if those records had been uploaded, Jay, why would those instances have been any different than the three where the FBI had specific information?
Right.
I don't think it would have been. So we have to quit this conversation that all the federal government needs is more information.
So
we need to first fix when they have the information, what do they do with it?
Wes, it's a complete lack of accountability.
It is.
And lack of consequence.
Lack of consequence. Lack of accountability, and this weak, vague proposal that they've come up with is not only ineffective, Jay, it is an insult.
It is.
That 17 people are dead, and
we're talking about bonuses not being given
to talking about
supervisors.
Bonuses. That is an insult to these families of these victims. It's an insult to the American people.
I mean, you were talking about this before the broadcast, Jordan. This is right. This is, I know people are supporting this, but this is, it's pretty pathetic.
In a partisan environment, it's these are those, like, I don't even know if you call it a Band-Aid. The things you do in reaction to some kind of problem, but you're punishing people who don't feel the punishment. Because, honestly, if they were responsible for if they're going to lose their bonus, which, again, they're political appointees, so they're only serving for 4 or 8 years, they're probably going to get fired anyway. And they would have been already.
Yeah, this is...
So they would have lost their job easily.
Not acceptable. All right, we'll take your calls and comments. We come back at 800-684-3110.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Exclusive videos coming up in the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Look, this was an FBI failure. Pure and simple. I hate saying it because the cost here was human life. This isn't, you know, targeting by the IRS was bad when we dealt with that, but this is different. This is human life, and it was an FBI failure. Our director of policy, and we're looking at the policy aspect of this too, and I'm not happy with the, we'll lose your bonus if this happens, you know, if your process isn't uploaded as to background check information. I mean, this is not borders on the absurd. It is absurd, but Professor Harry Hutchison is with us, our director of policy. Harry, what's your reaction to this?
Well, after telling us that if we see something, we should say something, after promising that if we call in a tip that the FBI would take it seriously, we now find that the FBI has been fatally infected with incompetence, and that has led tragically to the loss of 17 human lives.
All right. So, look. There's the explanations on any of none of this is good. I mean, it's just a fact. The explanations are horrible. The investigation, Andy, to me, meaningless, but they'll do it. But they're not going to fire anybody.
No, of course not. Nobody gets fired because of this. What they say is we didn't follow the protocols. We have to do a better job the next time.
They'll transfer to human resources.
Move you here, move you there. Maybe you retire early, whatever. And then we forget this until the next 17 people are killed or the next 50 people are mowed down in a hail of gunfire by somebody. And then we say the same thing over and over again. There is no excuse for what happened. This is an FBI failing. The title of this program is Can the FBI Protect Us? That's what we said at the beginning. I have to tell you today, no. The answer to that is no, it cannot, it has not. Right. That is pitiful.
Let's go. It is. I mean, look, I mean, this is, there's no good explanation for this, and there's no defending the failure in the Federal Bureau of Investigation that affected 17 human being, young people's lives. Let's take calls.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Karen. Thanks for holding, Karen, in Montana on line 4.
Hey, Karen, you're on the air.
You bet. A week ago in Everett, Washington, high school shooter was arrested and foiled. And yesterday in Darby, Montana, an 18-year-old was foiled by calling local police. Why would you call the FBI if the local police can get these people in jail?
Look, I think because the FBI is promoted the line. I don't want to fault the people who made the phone call because they had already contacted local police 39 times. I mean, the 39 times the local police have been called out to this individual's house. But the FBI has a specific line dedicated for this. I don't want to penalize people for exercising their ability to utilize a tip line when you had something like this. This was a failure of the FBI. We can't blame it on the people that are making the phone calls. But, yes, local and law enforcement – should be the first line of defense on this. But here you had an ongoing, Andy, you've been both. I've been both. I've been a federal lawyer. I've been a state lawyer. There are different responsibilities. This was a catastrophic failure on the federal government's behalf.
It was. It was a failure. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, has admitted that it's been a failure by the FBI. They had specific protocols they were supposed to follow. And among those protocols, to the caller's comment, was to notify local law enforcement. And they did not do that. Local law enforcement knows who the criminals in their community are. Believe me, they know. But that was part of the protocol. But it's not an unnatural reaction when you hear something like what this tip was to call the FBI. I would have done that way. And the FBI had their protocols. They failed in those protocols. And firing the bureaucrat, firing the career or the politician who gets appointed, the political appointee, or not giving him his bonus, as Jordan, you have both pointed out, is not the solution to this problem. It's a systemic solution problem with the FBI that needs to be cured, and it needs to be cured now.
Harry, so how do you do that? I mean, from a policy standpoint, what needs to be implemented here? What does the FBI need to do to get on top of it? What is clearly created havoc and catastrophic consequence?
Well, first, we need accountability. And so that means that a number of individuals should simply be fired, not simply reassigned, or they lose their bonus or whatever. So I think that's number one. Number two, we need leadership. And Christopher Wray's statement as the FBI director is poignantly weak. In other words, what is he prepared to do in light of the FBI's admitted failure? So give me a list of affirmative steps that you are prepared to take, Mr. FBI Director, in light of these failures, in light of the FBI's history of failures. If we go back 5, 6, 7 years, the FBI has dropped the ball with respect to the Boston Marathon bombing and a number of other incidents. The feds have missed signals with respect to Tashfeen Malik and the San Bernardino shooting. So this is a history of failure, and yet what are the consequences that the FBI director and others are prepared to impose on those who up till now are unaccountable?
So, Than, you've got this legislation, which I think is, you know what I think about it. You're going to deny people bonuses for not getting information to prevent killing. I mean, why is that even something that sounds rational to me? But what is your sense of what's going to happen here in Washington on this? The usual nothing?
Well, it's okay if you're going to dock a bonus, if you're also going to give that political appointee the ability to fire the person who made the mistake. And I want people to think about it this way, Jay. If a local police station, if the intake officer took this exact call and then decided, oh, I don't need to forward it to the investigative department, what would happen to that local intake officer? He or she would be fired before the day was out. That does not happen in Washington, D.C. Jay, I'm just going to say it this way. I think on Capitol Hill, I think in the bureaucracy, I think in the deep state, there is a tendency to circle the wagons and protect their own. So to Harry's point, if Christopher Wray is going to come out with recommendations, if those recommendations do not insist on the authority to fire the person responsible for this, it will not work.
Yep, I agree. All right.
Let's go to James in Illinois on line 3. Welcome.
James, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jay. I'll try to make this brief.
Okay.
All right. I used to believe that the FBI consisted of the finest investigators on the planet.
Yep.
And we had this FBI representative go before the people and say, well, we got the tip, but they didn't have a time or a location or anything. All right. My point is, since when did the FBI become so stupid that they need the entire crime spelled out for them before they act?
Well, listen, you're talking about the first tip. Then the second tip, they knew exactly who it was, where he was, what he planned on doing. And this is what the special agent in charge said about it in the press conference on the 16th, just 4 days ago.
On behalf of myself and over 1,000 employees of the Miami field office, we truly regret any additional pain that this has caused.
You know, here's the thing. I just want you to listen to that statement. 1,000 employees in a city field office. And what it appears is not one of those 1,000 employees ever got the information about this individual. They were never contacted by the hotline. Okay, so we know that. They've admitted right. that. So there were 1,000 people that could have been contacted. So don't tell me about resource problems, federal government.
okay? I mean, this. Do you ever hear, I talk about this all the time, we hear from the IRS and HUD and some of these other agencies, oh, we don't have enough money, HHS need more money, IRS needs more money. You ever hear Department of Justice say they're not funded enough or the FBI? No, because we throw money at those institutions to keep us safe. So they had 1,000 people ready to go. It's probably one of the larger field offices in Miami because of the ports, the drug issue, a lot of other criminal issues. Okay, 1,000 people to handle this. Not one of them got told about it. So at first, we were all kind of like taking it out on that guy, the FBI, who had, but he had to come out and make that statement and, in fact, had no knowledge of this whatsoever.
Correct.
And so they throw these FBI line agents out. We constantly say it's typically not there. They are not the problem. The problem starts at the top. And here, it's some kind of whoever set up this post 9/11. I know a lot of that was ad hoc, but we're now almost a decade past it.
No.
So we're not like
more than a decade.
No, we're not yet a decade from when this was set up in 2012.
Oh yeah, no, not yet.
So I mean, we're now at a point where they've got to not take it from an ad hoc, quick setup post terrorism into a real functioning process.
Well, they didn't set it up until 2012. That was 10 years after 9/11. That's what I was saying. So,
yeah.
So all these justifications, you know, you can't blame this on 9/11. Would you know what you can blame this on? Incompetence, inefficiency, and I said this, Harry. I want your opinion on this. Lack of consequence.
Absolutely. And so the ability to terminate expeditiously, I mean within 24 hours, needs to be given to the bureaucrats, to the administrators, and those individuals who fail, the American people should suffer immediate consequences.
By the way, and we'll point this out, when the agent in charge says, you know, they truly are regret any additional pain, they cause any additional pain. Their failure is the pain. I can't imagine what these parents are going through. And then to learn this on top of it. In the United States of America in 2018, we can't answer a phone. Our intelligence agencies can't answer a phone call and get it submitted to the proper office. In the United States of America in 2018, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is incapable of taking a real tip with specific information and criteria and get it to the field office to eliminate a real threat. In 2018. I'm not going to say a whole lot more about that. But Chris Ray's answers, we're going to investigate it. The legislation, we're going to deny bonuses. This is pathetic in the United States of America in 2018. And there are 17 dead teenagers in Florida.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, we're in the last segment of the broadcast. I went over my allotted time on last segment because I'm really concerned about this. I mean, this is, you know, I've handled the cases, like I said, with the IRS. We've handled other governmental things. But this is the loss of human life. These are high school students killed in the prime of their life. I mean, now before they even can realize their dreams and potential. And the FBI knew it. And the answer from the FBI is we've got to do better. You couldn't have done any worse. All right, we've got a lot of people taking calls, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Randy, who's calling in Arizona on line one. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Randy.
Hey, good morning, Jay, Jordan, and Andy. Hey, you know, listening to you, I hesitate now to even throw another curve because you're making such a convincing case for incompetence and lack of consequence. But what about just a remote possibility that their strings are being pulled by someone else who's assigning so many agents to these rabbit
trails? Don't even give them that opportunity to move it. This was a systematic and systemic failure by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to not follow their own protocols on a life-threatening situation. It's like a fire alarm goes off and the fire department decides not to show up. Now, I'm not giving them excuses they pulled in other directions. I'm going to just say it like it is. The fire alarm goes off and the fire department doesn't show up.
Yeah.
The 911 call comes in, the police say, yeah, we're not going to follow it. So that's the FBI has no excuse here. And saying they can do better and they've got to get to the bottom of this, fire some people. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to William in Macon, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, William, go ahead. Five.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? Good. First of all, I got to say this. You know, it's crazy that you got a situation where you got people that won't even get immediately fired, but let something like that happen at our job. If I was in a life and death situation at a job where it was crucial for me to follow instructions and I didn't do it, I'd immediately get fired. And them being bureaucrats shouldn't be an excuse for why they shouldn't be fired for what they did, because you got to explain that to those 17 families or those 17 people who got lost,
yep.
Lives got lost in that situation.
Yeah, you're talking about kind of like failure at the workplace. Let's say you run a construction site and because of gross negligence, someone gets killed. It can get worse than just being fired. I think I think you're getting to that, William, is you can end up in jail. In this situation, though, we're not dealing with real life because the federal government, and again, this is not about everybody and every single person that works for. I mean, lots of people in America work for the federal government, do a lot of hard work. But when I'm talking about the people who are trying to keep us safe, I'm not talking about the postman. I'm not talking about the average federal worker, and even most people probably at the FBI, because the honest truth is these guys didn't even get a shot at trying to handle this. The 1,000 people who worked in Miami did not get one opportunity to handle this problem, and they should have. There's 1,000 of them. 1,000 people within what is a 60-mile radius whose only job is to do extra intensive law enforcement past what local law enforcement like police and sheriff's departments do. Now, there was obviously a police and sheriff's department issue. 36 calls over a decade process, a very well-known person kicked out of school, reporting issues there. But the federal government, again, why the FBI takes the lead. They show up at the microphone. They take over, right?
Right.
There's a mass shooting at a school. And those off – when they were first reporting about it, and we were all confused about the statement, is it that head of this operation, that agent, had no idea who this kid was?
Nope.
That entire office in Miami had never heard of this kid. It wasn't that they got a document they didn't see or a phone call they didn't follow up on. The FBI has told us it never made it to what is probably. I mean, you worked for the IRS, so you worked. Miami is one of their main hubs.
Oh, yeah, no,
as you can tell, because they also responsible for Fort Lauderdale, which is a different county.
Right.
And about, 60 miles away, it's about an hour drive away. This was in an area where someone I went to college with, who is now a state rep in Florida, went to school.
Yeah.
So there's a good area in the country. It's not a place that usually would have a ton of people with problems like this,
Right.
The local police, again, kind of think nice neighborhoods, local police called 36 times to a one person, FBI getting phone calls about it. These are the kind of people that should be stopped without issue, and then these 17 kids would be going to school today.
Because you're a state prosecutor. I mean, 36 times in 3 years, and
I mean, if this had happened in Appling County, Georgia, we'd have been on it. I can tell you that, because we know who our local people are and we know who the criminals are. And that's what's important, that you know the individual, and the local law enforcement has got to be brought into the loop. As Jordan said, the FBI loves to be there at the press conference, and they love to show the shield and everything, but that's not what it's all about. It's following your protocols and doing the things you're supposed to do. As I said during the first segment, there's two things the federal government needs to do: defend us and protect us, and deliver the U.S. mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take some more calls. Let's go to Jenny Lynn, California, on line two.
Hi, Jenny Lynn.
Hello, gentlemen. I just want to say I hope we're all praying for these families.
Yep.
Because, you know, it seems with this bonus issue, I would be horrified guessing that the measure of performance of governmental employees is based on monetary incentives instead of moral responsibilities, and one of my loved ones died. I just wish we all would.
It's what I get to. Those political appointees are actually doing their job out of a sense of duty. They decided to leave the private world to serve a president at the pleasure of the president, so they can be terminated whenever they want. If they've made it to a certain level, whether you are a political appointed FBI or DOJ, you're likely leaving a position that paid more money. So you're not doing it for monetary reasons anyways. Yes, it may help your career later on, but the truth is this doesn't get to the heart of the people who are actually
– right.
The people who made the buck stops at the top, but the people who made the errors are not punished under this current law.
So Harry, how do you fix that?
Proposal.
Again, we need immediate firing authority for incompetence. And so to go back to Andy's earlier point about local level deputies and prosecutors, at the local level, we have accountability. And so if you make a mistake, that mistake can lead to termination. At the federal government, if you make a mistake, you keep your job. So if you go back to the Boston Marathon bombing, for instance, those bombers, those individuals, were identified before the bombing. But after the bombing, the FBI could not find them. So they shut down the entire city of Boston.
Right, I remember
and
that.
They sent out a plea.
Help us. Yep. And they knew who the people were. I mean, they didn't draw their own connection to people they already interviewed.
And so they have the information, but they are not acting expeditiously. That's a problem, and it needs to be solved quickly.
All right, Logan.
All right. We'll go quickly to Mike. Mike in North Carolina.
Mike, real quick.
Yes, thank you for everything you guys do. Can you tell me what the definition of a bureaucrat is and how they get there and why can't they be fired?
Well, they're a bureaucrat. Right now, that definition is real simple. Government employee who is accountable to do nothing and is responsible to no one. And that's unfortunately. Now, it's not supposed to be a bureaucrat. It's supposed to be is a technocrat, someone that deals with bureaucratic measures. The problem that we're talking about, and Thane, you got 10 seconds here. That's the problem, is you can't fire these people, and that makes them the bureaucrats that are dangerous.
I'm walking into a meeting right after this show, Jay, and telling them that this legislation is worthless unless it's coupled good. With a firing authority for that bureaucrat that you're talking about.
Good. So that was worth it. I'm glad we said that. And as I said, we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. We're taking action. And this is one where our thoughts and prayers go to these families, but the FBI, no excuse on this. Horrible job. An F. All right, Logan, that does it for the day.
That's right. You can join us each and every day on ACLJ.org. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.